Welcome to Clamp, the weekly podcast where we discuss all things related to creating, living, and making projects. I'm your host, Grant Alexander. Joining me as always is Jesse Ratfink and Adam Mackey. And today, we're going to be talking about whether or not you're just really, really busy, or if you've crossed that threshold and now you're burnt out. And I wanted to talk about this a little bit because a lot of people think about burnout in certain ways, and there's a lot of stigma around using this term burnout. And a lot of people, I think, get into a state of burnout and their hobby loses the passion that they once had for it. You can get burnt out on your hobby, but a lot of times people try and turn to their hobby to try and relieve stress. And a lot of us here are hobby makers, and you can get into a point where your hobby stops being fulfilling because you're so burnt out from the whatever's, you know, usually it's your job, but burnout can come from other areas. So I just want to start a little bit with, like, what is burnout? The little definition I found online that I liked is, like, burnout is a state of emotional, physical, and mental exhaustion caused by excessive and prolonged stress, right? Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people are hesitant to talk about burnout, hesitant to, like, self-diagnose themselves or whatever, because they just go, nah, I'm just busy. I'm just busy, right? And what I've recognized is that oftentimes when you're burnt out or in the state of burnout or getting close to it, you feel busier, but your output is so much lower and you're not doing the things you used to love. And there's other signs too, like you're not exercising, not doing your, snapping at people for no good reason, blah, blah, blah. There's a lot of things that go with burnout, but a lot of times what I've kind of felt is like, I feel busy, but I'm not getting anything done.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I always hesitate to say burnout too much. Just because people, I don't know, it's a weird word. It's kind of overused and a lot of times in ways that don't make sense to me. But I tend to refer to it as I am at capacity. when I would talk to my therapist about being overwhelmed with things, I would always come back to that because, yeah, I think it's very important to recognize that burnout is sort of where you've hit your limit. Like, you have hit your physical, mental, emotional capacity in whatever sense. And it's not going to reset. You're not going to get better if you just keep sort of trudging along the way that you are. Because for me, it definitely, everything is so much harder once you've hit that maximum capacity. And that is why everything takes so much longer and why you feel like you're not doing as much, because it's just like the processing time takes forever.
Right. And so thinking about it, like you're going 100% or hitting your capacity or whatever it is, like people often comment about like Star Trek and why didn't they always just go warp 9.9 everywhere? Right. Well, it's the same reason why, you know, helicopters aren't zooming around and airplanes aren't going 100% everywhere. Because if you're going 100% everywhere, you wear out things faster and they don't last as long. Right. You could do it for short bursts of time, but if you do it forever, you end up breaking down. Right. And a lot of times the breakdown, like, is hard to see. Yeah. And, you know, like, there's physical aspects of burnout. Like, you're mentally, sure, it's all mental. Like, you could have an office job where you're not physical at all, but for some reason, you're just aches and pains all day and, fatigued and all these other things because of you're at capacity even just emotionally or, you know, brain activity way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and it's – so something that I have sort of had to come to terms with in recent years is also, like – the link between stress and just the way your body reacts, like how much inflammation your body has and the different ways that stress sort of fucks everything up, to be honest, because I'm a very anxious person. I have a very high heart rate. Like, my resting heart rate sometimes is hovering around 80 beats per minute. Like, I have a high heart rate and I'm just always stressed and always worried. And I've had to do a lot to try to, like, manage that, because it really has started to affect my health. over the last few years, that's been a huge discussion with my primary doctor, my gastroenterologist, and my therapist, where it's just like, I have to find a way to manage this because it's not really going to get better. It's not like I'm going to have a smaller workload or anything. I just have to figure out a way to reconfigure the way that I'm doing things because it's, yeah, you can't do it a difficult thing right. for months at a time and be okay afterwards.
Right. And I want to say, like, I hope you agree with this, but like stress in itself isn't bad.
Yeah.
Stress is the thing that like
motivating.
Right. Like our whole like instinct is based on stress, mm-hmm. right? Everything we do, like there's good stressors and there's bad, like Christmas yeah. is generally speaking for most people or whatever holidays season that you celebrate, is generally a good time, with family and friends and all that, but it's still stressful.
Yeah.
Going up to it, going through it, being with the family, worrying about, you know, depending on your family, the political conversations or, you know, someone mentioning Elon Musk and you then having a little conversation with them about the pros and cons of that idiot, you know, you could see where stress might come from. But, you know, there's definitely some positive things that can happen over that. But mm-hmm. stress, you know, the nice thing about Christmas or holidays is that they come and go.
Yeah, there's an end to it. Yeah.
Right. And I think, you know, you can be burnt out and Christmas can be the breaking point that, like, breaks you down. But it's Christmas isn't causing burnout in my understanding of it. But I'm not a doctor.
Yeah. Well, and I honestly kind of just wanted to talk to you guys about, like, the amount of responsibilities one person is, like, stuck with in many cases. I mean, both of y'all mm-hmm. are parents. You know, we all have jobs. And then we have to make time for everything else outside of that, which I have always struggled with just because it's always been kind of hard to live. You know, like, it's always been working a ton to make enough money to be able to live, but then being so tired that you're just like, I don't want to do anything else. I don't have any energy for anything beyond work. Like, how do y'all, I guess, deal with that being parents? Because that is something that is mandatory and it takes up so much time and emotional energy that, like, I just can't fathom it. So I'm kind of curious how y'all feel about having kids and if it's really, like, super added to the everyday stressors and burnout.
I think it's definitely a lot more work and a lot more stressful and everything. I just don't sleep. I'm always tired. People if anyone watches this, record the podcast, I'm constantly yawning. It's not because I'm bored. It's just because I'm constantly tired. But yeah. It's rewarding at the same time though. Like it's exhausting. It's so much more stress. Like my son at the moment has gone through some stuff and it's, you know, it's stressful, but it's worth it in the end. Like it's, like, I couldn't imagine not being a dad.
Yeah, what about you, Grant?
Yeah, when I think about it, it definitely, for me, it is something that when I look back at my time, like when I met my wife, I was learning French. I was working on a race team. I was going to school like part-time through university. I was working a full-time job. I was doing all these things. And I was able to do them all. And now I feel like I'm not able to do pretty much anything because like the amount of time that it takes away from you. And I know I don't do 5% of the work that my wife does. Right. Like yeah. I know I'm the parent that, like, obviously I go to work. So and my wife doesn't. So it's a little bit of a, that's the trade-off we've worked yeah. out in my family, is that I try and bring home the bacon and she tries to cook it, I guess. But, you know, I know that's like the old school way. That's not why we're doing it, but it just works out in our life. So I know, like, for her, I'm, you know, I don't want to put words in her mouth, but I'm sure that it is taking a toll on her to be at this level of, like, physical and emotional, like dealing with the cranky kids and the teething and the,
yeah.
like whatever particular, like as soon as they get a cold, they turn into little monsters. Yeah. And they're so demanding, and then they start running around, and there's like, and they're running up and down, and like, like immediately running towards like any danger. There's a dangerous spot, they're running towards it with full on sprinting.
They're little, right?
Trying to climb up. Yeah. And you're just like, you know, you can't even, if you let your guard down for a second because you're trying to do something else because you only have so much time in the day. Like the other, we had like a little blow up pool in the backyard, and my wife is standing there with our kid right beside him, and he's standing in the pool and he's been in there for a while, and she takes out her phone and she tries to make the grocery order on her phone, and he tries to sit down and on the, like on the ledge of the pool, and it slides right into it, and like, you know, he just like dunks himself underwater. It's no big deal, but she throws her phone into the water to save him, and you know, so it's always like, it's just like a never ending thing, right? And if she had more time in the day to deal with stuff, then she wouldn't have to do that at the same time. So then she wouldn't throw her phone into the water. Luckily, it was fine. It's the same, it's a Google Pixel 3 for anyone who's a 3A, I think. And both mine and hers have now gone in the water and still work. So.
That's awesome, though.
I suppose these days are pretty waterproof.
Yeah. For very short periods, yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to assume that your wife is a lot like mine, being that they're both ladies of leisure, in that like we're just along for the ride sort of thing. You know what I mean? Like my wife calls herself that, so I'm just saying I'm not.
I don't know what that is.
It's a stay-at-home mom.
Yeah, it's fancy way to say
stay. Yeah, it's the fancy way of like, yeah. So
I will have to
my wife puts her all in the kids. Everything. Like she's constantly like the kids have to be entertained, and like she's always thinking of things we can do with the kids and all this. And like I'm just like I'm there to help. Like I do as much as I can, but I'm also just along for the ride. Like she's the one that makes plans with everything. She's the one that's like, oh, we're gonna go do this today, and I'm just like, okay, cool, whatever. We're going there or whatever. It's pretty rare for me to make plans. I mean, I made the plans to go camping, and I'm talking to my wife now, trying to work out what we're going to do when I've got 4 days off coming up. I want to go camping or something. But generally, my wife is the one that does like everything with the kids, and I'm just there to help and all that sort of stuff. And I can see how much that is on her, like how much stress that is on her, and that's why I try to help out as much as I can. But like you take like Thursday for us is our worst day, like. Yesterday, I finished work at 8:30 in the morning. I drove 45 minutes to meet my wife while my son was doing gymnastics, which starts at 9, finishes at 9:45. We then go do craft. It starts at 10 o'clock, 15 minutes down the road, which goes for 45 minutes. Then we quickly get some morning tea, and then he has library at 11 o'clock, which goes till 12. Then we have lunch, go home, pick up my son from school at 2:30, straight to karate for my three-year-old at 3:30. My son then has karate at 4 o'clock, and then they both go straight to swimming at 5 o'clock, finish swimming at 5:30, get them ready and everything, and then get dinner on the way home, and then home, bed. It's like our Thursday is done. There is not like, so I'm like, I'm up for work at midnight, and then I'm go, go, go until like 7 o'clock that night.
Yeah. Except for at
it's,
work.
It's well, yeah.
Sorry. I've seen you post pictures of you sleeping at work, so I don't know.
Yeah. Yep. But it's still a lot, but like it's still I'm awake a lot, but like my wife has it 100 times worse. She's the one dealing with the tantrums and the fighting, and my 3-year-old is like mum. Like we get home and it's like, I want mum to put me to bed. I'm like, no, it's my turn. Mum put you to bed the last 3 nights. No, you did it last night. No, I didn't. And then like, you know, he just wants mum all the time.
Yep.
So related to that, I guess, because, you know, I'm assuming both of your partners are burned out. Do they have hobbies? Do they have extracurricular activities that they put any energy in? Or is it just like, I've just got to keep floating?
So this is an argument I've had with my wife for a long time, because she always got annoyed at me wanting to like go in the garage or in the shop or whatever. And I said to her, you need to get a hobby. Like for the last 7 years since my first son was born, I said, you need a hobby. Like you it just constantly just all you care about is the kids and stuff, and like you don't have a hobby. So she's got a hobby now. We now have 4 fish tanks in the house.
Oh wow!
Full of fish.
I thought she had a hobby of 700 pets.
Well, that's yeah, part of it. Well, technically with all the fish are pets. But the fish and the tanks are now her hobby, and it's like constant. Like there's more stress on the fish than the kids. Like she's constantly like, I need to do a water change. Oh, I missed the water change today. Like I have to get it done. Like she's constantly going on about the tanks and everything. Like that is is consuming her life now. But like she has that to fall back on now. Like she sees her tanks and she's happy, and I think that's good. But
so my wife. It's basically when I try and push her to do some hobbies, she just says I'm too exhausted to do them. So,
that's understandable. I mean, I know I say it a lot, but people with children are amazing because I personally, I know that I can't do it. I can barely handle keeping myself alive. So it's just, I don't know. I just don't know how people can juggle it because I feel that the having kids is just so much extra pressure to perform and to be at 100% and like make sure you're always doing really great at work. And it's just scary to me because it's hard enough as a person with no children.
Right. Okay. So to get it off the children a little bit, do you think that your making or your hobby or whatever helps deal with the stress or the burnout or actually adds to it? Because almost everyone I know has tried to monetize their hobby.
That's what I was about to say. And thereby
making it just another stressful thing you need to do. You know, even if it isn't about monetizing, it's about setting expectations for yourself.
My hobby did turn into a second job. So it has been something that I haven't been doing for a long time. I mean, I used to embroider probably 3 to 10 hoops a week for a very long time. And I would say in the last few years, I've done 4 pieces for people. So it's like it really cut down. So I've had to move away to like kind of working on the yard and doing this biodiversity seed experiment that I'm doing, which was very fun and relaxing until I tried to turn it into content. And now I'm starting to get a little stressed about it, you know? So it's, that's always the hard thing is you don't really want to slide into hustle culture or making money off of it because it just gets bad. But it's so easy to do it.
And I don't want to like vilify people trying to hustle. Because there is something to that, especially if you hate your job, you want to get out of it, you don't enjoy the things you're doing, and you want to hustle so that you can make a better life for you in the future. But what I find is like there's people who have good jobs, love their job, and are still hustling on the side just because that's what they're like expected to do. The culture went too far, right? They're just like, well, I expect my hobby to pay for itself. I'm like, why? The whole point of the hobby is that it is a hobby. Like I worked at a hobby shop. There was no one making any money at the hobby shop that I worked at. Like, except for me, because I was hustling. I was painting RC car bodies for people trying to make money. I don't know why I was. I was just part of that hustle thing. And I think like I've been working constantly all the time, often way too many hours a week since I was like 15 years old.
Yeah, I was 16 when I started.
Yeah, 16 as well.
Yeah, it's
right.
Well, and I don't know how it is like in Canada or Australia, but in the U.S., hustle culture is such a real thing because we don't get paid enough a lot of times at our one job that we have, so we have to kind of tack on extra things. And I just in America, it's almost like if you don't have multiple jobs, you're slacking. I know so many people, and even when I was in college, like I knew people with multiple jobs who were also taking a full course load. Like I think that was at that time like 13 hours or above. And it's just I just don't know. I think maybe it's just some people's personality. Also, some people really thrive in like chaos and constant change and just like constantly having to meet new goals. And so, those people love it, but I don't.
I think you can do it for a while, but you're operating at 100%, and mm-hmm. you can't do that forever. And I think this is where a lot of people do that for so long that they don't realize that even the letting go for a little bit and like letting off the gas gives causes stress, because they're like, no, I need to fill all those extra hours, right? And they don't realize, like, I know I was listening to House from Housemaid talk, Brian House talking on his podcast, We're For It. They were talking about, like, he works on holidays often with his, but he works with his family, and he's like, I don't want to spend the time sitting around doing nothing, right? I already do that enough. I've managed my time so that it just doesn't make any sense for me to take this day off or that day off that's mandated because someone else decided it's the day that everyone should have off, right? Like, unless I have something to do, I don't want to go and do it. Makes sense to me. I'm the same way. I used to work all the holidays because I didn't care. I'm like, great, sign me up. I like getting the extra pay, right?
Yeah, when I used to be able to get overtime, I did do that when I worked retail. Yeah.
I work all holidays except for Christmas. Christmas is the only day that I care about being home because I want to be home for my kids in the morning.
Yeah, that's
fair. But other than that, like, if my family are doing anything or whatever, like, I'm lucky because I usually finish by 10 o'clock in the morning, so I can usually join, like, lunch activities and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But everything else, like, I don't – it's not really that. I'd rather the money, especially now.
I don't even know when the holidays are coming up. I have gone to work on a holiday back in the days when, like, I'd have to go into the office every day. I have gone, showed up, and I was like, wow, this is a great day. The bus was empty. It's wonderful. I love it. Right? Yeah. And you get to work, and you're, like, going in there, and you're like, man, it's really dead, and crap.
Yeah, I actually did that a couple of months ago. I woke up at, like, 6:30, my normal time, got my coffee, sat down, was working for, like, 2 hours, and realized no one else was online. And then I looked at my calendar, and it was a holiday, and it was just like, oh my God, even at home, I'm fucking myself over. But so, speaking of hustle culture and monetizing things, I also wonder, so I sort of think that a lot of people get so caught up with their output and their content that if they can't keep that level, they feel like their self-worth is really going down very fast. Is that something that you all worry about?
I'll take this first. I 100% have that problem. So I was, until from October till April, I posted every single day on Instagram, Facebook, and all that stuff. And I was making, at first I was making money, and then I wasn't, but whatever. I was growing, and everything was great. And as soon as my output dropped, I missed that one day, and then everything, all the views went down from that day forward. Even if I tried, everything went down. And when I first started YouTube, the first year, I did 52 videos in a year. Oh my God. That's one video a week. I didn't do them one video a week. Sometimes I did two videos a week, and then the next week I didn't do one. But whatever. I basically did one video a week for a year. And now I'm at like three videos for 2023 or something. It's like, I've got them. They need to be there. But my like self, I've definitely like give myself the guilt of not producing. But I'm like, I don't, I'd like the money for sure. I like the opportunities that come from doing it. But I don't like pushing for pushing's sake. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Like the numbers are all meaningless. Like one, I don't know who I was talking to the other day, and they're like, I was mentioning I have Instagram. They're like, oh yeah, like how many followers do you have? And I was like, oh, like 55,000. Like, what? You're like famous. I'm like, no, it's nothing. There's literally a meaningless number. And they're like, no, you're like, you know, I have way more. That's crazy. I was like, it's nothing. It's meaningless. The numbers mean nothing. Like, it means something to some people for sure. And there's some people who don't, who will get sponsorships based. And I'm sure that I've gotten some sponsorships based on this little number that's associated with my account. But I just look at it and go, it's really, it's really like hard because those numbers are meaningless but meaningful. They mean nothing, but they affect me. And when the number goes down, I feel like, right? And so it affects me. It's stressful. I've got a lot of problems with that.
So I think it definitely, a lot of people do.
Yeah, it definitely adds stress to my life.
Social media has ruined us.
Yeah.
I feel like I never really got the upper part to then come back down. So like, but a lot of the reason why I stopped posting on YouTube and everything is because I didn't get what I would expect in return, and that made my self-worth lower. Because, you know, I'd put in all this effort for a video and I wouldn't get the views I would expect. I would hardly get any comments, no likes, like nothing, you know, like, and that to me was like, well, why am I putting in all this effort if I'm not, like, no one is really interested? I may as well, you know, and that's, I think, a lot of the reason why I stopped, other than it was, I did get very burnt out trying to do too much.
Yeah. And I think there's like a thing with,
oh, sorry, go ahead.
Okay, I think there's a thing with a lot of output. People think that if you output, and even like you had some good videos in there, Adam. Yeah. Like I thought you had some like really well edited storytelling was good. Everything was really good in them, and the algorithm did nothing for you, right? Yeah. And then when you tried to like increase your output, hoping to get the return because of consistency, it didn't work. Yeah, and that's because it's not how the algorithm works, right? We don't understand it at all. Like the only person out there I think that actually understands is Mr. Beast, and otherwise no one else gets it.
And I could literally take a Mr. Beast video and copy it like word for word, and then the algorithm doesn't pick it up and it's nothing. You know, like it's not all about like how good the content is either. It's also how YouTube pushes it and everything.
Yeah. Right. Or you could blow up.
Yeah. Like, or you'll blow up because you have 1,000 comments of like, you copied Mr. Beast.
Yeah. Bad engagement. Woohoo. Yeah. So I never really hit the point where I was disappointed with the return. And I think that's mostly because I have stayed within Instructables and like Instagram, where like the major places really where I've ever been active. And I've, you know, so that really isn't whatever like motivated me or kept me going. It was more just almost the feeling of letting people down. Like, I am not hustling hard enough. Everyone else is. I have to keep up with everyone else, or I am a failure and a hack and like I shouldn't be doing this. So yeah, I think along with the burnout, a lot of that for me just comes from feelings of external pressure, which really is me putting pressure on myself. Because really when I talk through these like anxious feelings about not doing enough or not being good enough, no one else has ever said that to me. It's me just assuming, you know, and I make it so much worse when it doesn't have to be.
I feel like I did the same thing. I assumed a lot and really put a lot of pressure on myself of things that weren't really true, but I told myself they were.
Yeah. Yeah. That is one of the worst things about social media, I think, because, you know, I think in the back of our minds, we all realize that people are putting out the best version of themselves, a very carefully curated, you know, like perfect image. And a lot of times, like even when people post about their fails or something horrible that happened, a lot of times they're still presenting as someone who has all their shit together and they're fine. And it's, or even, I mean, even the filters and stuff that people use, like even just like the way that you appear on all the content that you're supposed to put out, there's so many levels of pressure with it that it's just, I don't know how anybody is fine.
there's so many like things out there of like vloggers and stuff, like family vloggers and that you don't see the behind the scenes, you know, like, I know Roman Atwood back in the day got so much conflict because people were like, you never discipline your kids or anything, but he does. He just doesn't put it on YouTube videos and stuff, you know? So people were like, this family's perfect, but they're not. They're only showing the perfect.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, okay. So this is that can I think that can affect your feelings of burnout because you're trying to keep up with a curated content that other people are putting out. Mm-hmm. So you're not feeling up to the standards you've put out there for yourself, but I don't know. It's all like intermingled, right? And that's why it's a whole everything's together. So before we get out there too much, because we're going a little long, I want to talk a little bit about different ways that you try and deal with burnout, either positively or negatively, and how they've worked. It's like a lot of people talk about like, well, you should go and exercise or you should go and, practice mindfulness. And it's going to be like this thing that's going to solve everything. And I think the big problem has to do with or step away from the computer. And it's like, well, if I feel like I'm not getting enough done, but I'm always busy, the last thing I want to do is spend 30 minutes not getting anything done. But I realize this is the like. It feels like it's not a good solution, but it probably is. But
So should we each name one positive and one negative way, maybe?
Sure. Sure thing.
What is that?
Adam, for those listening and not on the YouTube, Adam has put a picture of a filter that makes him look like a model, a male.
It's like you and Arnold Schwarzenegger from like the 80s had a picture. That was really weird.
I'm gonna put it in our Discord. It's so my weird. My wife was playing with that this morning. It just you reminded me when you were talking about filters before, and I was like, "Oh, you should see this filter from this morning."
Okay, so productive and unproductive ways you've dealt with burnout. So I know the answer to this very quickly. My non-productive way is disassociation. I didn't know what that was called until recently. I actually never talked with my first therapist about like taking downtime and just sitting there because I felt ashamed to say that I was taking any time for myself. And then with this therapist, I realized that I just kind of forced myself to just sit and completely disassociate. And so I will waste, like I can waste hours doing that. I didn't realize I was doing it until recently, but it's just, I get to a point where I'm so overwhelmed that I don't want to talk. I don't want to move. I don't want to look at anything. And so that's the bad way that I deal with it. The productive way is exercise, but then it's also that like where it adds another stressor of having to make time for it sometimes. But overall, I feel like the benefits are enough that it makes me keep doing it. And like, I do make time for it, even if it's like very rushed and kind of crazy. It's just, it's like the one thing that I've really found that actively helps because you can't work out really hard and do anything else. You can't multitask. And so I save myself a lot of like overthinking and focusing on things that I shouldn't have just for that time. And it's great. I don't know. What about you guys?
My non-productive, I suppose, would be the same. I try to disassociate, except for the problem is that, like, I'll say to my wife, like, oh, you do you want to just, like, sit on the lounge or watch TV or something? And then I get so antsy because I'm just sitting there watching TV and I'm like, I need to be doing something. What am I doing? Like, I'm wasting time. Like, I don't have much time, free time, like, with the kids at school and stuff. Like, I need to get stuff done. And my wife's like, no, just sit. Like, just relax for once. Like, I'm like, I can't. But then in saying that, the productive way that I try to deal with it is to actually get stuff done, like go into the shop, tick stuff off the list, exercise when I can. But I haven't been doing that for a bit because, I don't know, I guess I kind of feel burnout with it all. I don't know. I haven't been like to the gym for 6 weeks. I mean, I have once a week because I have my PT every week, but I haven't actually been like on my own. And my PT has been whooping my ass for it. But I don't know. I just like, I have time that I could go on the way home, but I just don't want to. I'm just like, I just cannot be bothered. I just want to go home. I feel like I have so much I need to get done, but I don't.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I think it's also important, though, to recognize that you have just had a death in your family. Like, you're going through, well, there's a lot of
I know, stuff. That's what my PT like, keeps saying, you know, like, you've been through a lot lately,
It's going to happen, you know? That sort of stuff is so hard. I mean, it just, grief is a whole different animal when it comes to motivation and productivity.
I mean, like, but the other day, like, my trainer said, like, well, I had training on Tuesday. She said, are you going to come to the gym tomorrow? I said, yeah, okay, I'll come on the way home from work. She goes, so what do you need to do to make that happen? I said, I need to take my clothes with me to work so I can come like straight here, not have to go home and then come out again. Took my clothes to work with me and then just went straight home. Like, I was driving and I'm like, you know what? Like, I really just don't want to go. And then I drove past the gym and I'm like, yeah, I'm going home. Just making excuses. But I don't know. It's just, I feel like I shut down a lot.
Yep.
Keeps to myself. Yeah. My wife gets annoyed because I don't talk to her. I'm just like keeping it all bottled in. But
I think that's a very common way to deal with it. What about you, Grant?
So I'd probably say like a negative one, aside from obviously the drinking, is the doom scrolling.
Oh, yes.
Where I know. Yeah, right. You talked about your like TikTok addiction.
Not anymore. I got rid of it.
Yeah. So that's where it's like one of those things where I just like I get stuck in the like open one app, open another app, go back to the first app, go back to the second, you know, like I just get in this like little like stuck there on the couch going through all the apps until I find something to like just swipe on for a while. And I guess it's like disassociating.
Yeah.
A little bit. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And or just like watching YouTube videos with no real, like, not helpful videos, just like trash TV kind of thing, you know, like soap operas or, you know, whatever it is. There's that's the doom scrolling of the day is the soap operas of yesteryear. so I feel like that's my negative thing. What positive things do I do? I don't know. I don't think I do anything particularly positive in my, I know a lot of things. I don't want to, I can spout a bunch of bullshit that I've read about. like my work has every day, you're allowed to take 30 minutes out of your day to do whatever stress relief bullshit you want to do. Like, so like if I wanted to take, wellness, if I wanted to exercise, do like, you know, a little bit of 30 minutes a day of exercising, I could on the clock. That's right. Cool. Don't tell anyone. I don't know how legal this is. Whatever. I don't care. This or that. I've got an email saying to do it, so I'm going to do it. But I could. I don't. That's not how I spend those 30 minutes. I don't. Like it used to be like going out and making things was a way to get out there. But then once if I go out there and I make something and I don't film it, it's great in the moment and it's regret afterwards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So then it just adds to the stress. Right. And if I do film it, then it's stressful during it and after it because until I get the actual content out there and then it's great. Right.
Yeah.
So
doom scrolling, I feel like my wife does a lot. If we're sitting on the lounge watching TV, I won't touch my phone. Pretty rare. Like I am obsessed with having to clear my notifications. It's a really bad habit. But my wife, like she'll refresh Facebook for like 2 hours straight. I don't know what she's looking at. Like what? I don't get it. But she'll somehow just scroll her phone nonstop on Facebook, and I don't know how she does it.
But like, forming like it really is.
It's, yeah, it is. It is. And it's really bad. Like the amount of times I've said to her, like, I would just like you to just sit next to me and watch TV with me. But, you know, that's her coping method. So it is what it is.
So coping methods, there's positive and negative coping methods.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's, you know, like even some negative ones can be positive if they're done in moderation, in the right settings. And there's like people who take exercise too Like, exercise is one of the things they say is, like, super positive. And then there's the people who take it, like, to the next level where they're, like, exercising so much that that becomes then their little obsession that then causes problems.
Yep. I used to have a neighbor that ran upwards of 30 to 50 miles a week. And that was her only way to deal with anything. And her body was breaking down because of it. Like, her feet were totally fucked up. She had horrible knees. Her back was fucked. But she couldn't stop because that was her only coping mechanism. That was the only thing she did.
Wow.
There are people at my gym that I swear no matter what time I go there, they're there. Mm-hmm. Like, I go to my PT at 5 p.m., they're there. I go on the way home from work at 10 a.m., they're there. Like, it's so weird.
Right. So, I would say the big thing for everyone to kind of wrap this all up is if you're feeling busy and you're feeling burnt out and you're feeling like life isn't giving you the things you hoped it would, it's kind of feeling meaningless or whatever, your hobbies aren't giving you the joy that they once did, take a look at it. Talk to someone. Mm-hmm. See if potentially you're burnt out or there's, you know, depression or something else. Like, there's a lot of different reasons why you can feel these ways, right? Like, but there could be something. The nice thing about burnout versus like depression is that there's often a singular thing that's causing the high level of stress that can be pinpointed and dealt with. Like often it's your job, has been, you know, they've fired a bunch of people in your unit. And now all of a sudden you're doing all their work too. Well, that's probably going to lead to burnout. Yeah.
This is a real case of do as I say and not as I do. Is talk to someone, but I don't do it.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, I talk to people. They're just all in my head. But so you should definitely talk to people. Doesn't mean talk to like a therapist. It can be talk to anyone. Talk to your boss. Yeah. If you're feeling like talk to your partner, but you know, talk to someone and, or just start quiet quitting. It's a good time.
Or join our Discord and talk to us.
Yes.
Yeah.
And do you know what else?
I am a stress professional.
There you go. Yeah, if you want to join our Discord, that would be great. But you know what I want to do right now? I want to thank our Patreon supporters, especially the F-Clamp level ones. Scott from Dad It Yourself DIY, Joe Herdina, Rich from Low End Designs, David Wood from DW Wood Builds, and Brad from I'm Going to Make. If you feel like you got a dollar of value out of this episode, you know, please consider going over to Patreon and supporting us there. If you do that, you'll get access to a pre-show and after show. You'll also get access to our monthly Discord hangouts, which have actually been scheduled for September and October. So, you know, go and do that. And you know, those are going to be, they've been fun in the past. The last one we kind of scheduled at the last minute and only Brad came on and he was having some fun internet problems, but it was good times. But you also get a keychain made by me when I'm not so burnt out and I actually finish it. you want to do that, you can go to patreon.com/clamp. And now Clamp Mendations. And this week, Adam's actually going to put the jingle in the edit.
I apologize. It was a rough edit. It was a rush edit, sorry.
Clamp Mendations.
Okay, so this is the part of the show where I talk about Starfield for a few minutes because I am absolutely obsessed. So Starfield is the newest Bethesda game. I got it early access last Thursday, so I've been playing it for a week. I've put in over a day of playtime already, and I am obsessed. It is wonderful. I am just now, like, I've just now gotten to the third city, so I just got to Neon, which is like a cyberpunk sort of city. I love everything about it so far. The combat is great. The amount of quests, fantastic, because it's like overwhelming. You can have more quests than anyone ever. I probably have like 40 quests right now. They're active. There's just so much to do.
That gives me so much anxiety.
Yeah, that would just lead to burnout for me.
Yeah.
Oh, see, I am able, like, I play one game at a time usually, and I don't get stressed about it because that is my, like, downtime. And so I never feel any rush to, like, get back to it, you know? I don't try to put that pressure on myself. And I think that's a big reason I don't play, like, online games, just because it's too much stress.
Well, this game's not online?
Oh, no.
This game's not online? Player. It's a single, like, a story-based game?
Yep. And that's why I like it.
Like I thought from everything I saw, I thought it was like a mass multiplayer RPG or something.
I think multiplayer is coming soon.
Yeah, I think that eventually is in the works because goddamn every game has to have a multiplayer mode
like,
now.
But it'll probably be like a like visit your friend's ship or like whatever. Like it's I don't think it'll be like a do stuff together. It'll be more just visit each other.
Yeah, I'm wondering about that, but you know, I'll never take part in it, so I guess it doesn't matter. But
yeah,
it's I'm just loving everything about it.
I had to mute my friend group on Facebook because that's all they're talking about because they're all playing it, and I'm not playing it. I haven't watched any videos on people playing it or anything because I'm so jealous and I don't have time to play it. So I'm just like not trying to associate myself with it at all.
Yeah, I am talking about it and watching stuff for it all the time. Like we have a work Slack channel that's about video games and we've all been talking about it there. Like almost every morning, Tyler and I are like talking about what we've been doing in the game. It's so good. And the best thing about Bethesda games is like in the early days, there are a lot of weird things that you can exploit. So, for example, Tyler sent me an article a couple days ago saying, basically, you got to go to the Lodge, which is like the home of the, I think they're like the Constellation Society, but they're like explorers. And he's like, in the basement, there's legendary spacesuit helmet and like back, like the pack, I think, yeah, a booster pack. And the case is locked and it's a master lock, which like I do not have the ability to do that right now. But because they fucked up, there's like a very small sliver of the case where it's open on the corner where it meets. And if you can get your viewfinder right in there, you can steal it and just take it. So I am running around with legendary everything right now, looking fine as hell. I'm so excited. Yeah, it's just, I love it.
Is it out now or do I still have to buy the digital premium edition?
It is out now.
Why would I buy a digital premium edition?
So I don't know why you probably would get that now, to be honest. Like
you probably get in-game stuff, right?
Yeah, I think maybe there's in-game stuff, but I never care. Like I haven't even looked into that yet. The only reason I bought it was because I wanted to play it on the Monday holiday and like over the weekend. So I just wanted early access. I haven't looked at any of the stuff that comes with it.
Literally, you need
125 gigabytes to play this
game. It's huge. It's huge.
Literally, the day the game came out, it was online. Mm-hmm. Like half my friends just torrented it.
I'm sure. Yeah, there's a very large pirate community for video games. So.
Yeah. But anyway, speaking of video games, my Clamp Nation this week is also a video game. And it's called Viewfinder. It's actually like one of the coolest games I've seen in a long time. So essentially you have a camera and you can take a picture of something like a Polaroid, and then you can place that Polaroid in the world, which then puts what you've taken a picture of in the world. So you could take a picture of a bridge. Yeah. So you take a picture of a bridge and then use it to create a bridge where you need to walk and stuff like that. It's so cool. Yeah.
Okay, so it's sort of like, it's a little like AR, I guess. Wow, that's wild.
Yeah, like if
a little bit like,
if you watch like someone Portal. Play it, sort of, yeah. So if you watch someone play it, like it's insane. Like the I don't know how they've done it. Like the devs have done such a great job. Like it's such, like it's flawless too. Like it's crazy. It's hard to explain. You really need to watch someone play it to understand how it works. Or like to understand
someone right now.
Yeah, the GIFs on the Steam page are kind of tripping me out. Those are wild.
Yeah, it is trippy as. Yeah. And like it's like you take a picture of something and then you can turn the picture upside down to create what you need and stuff. Like, or you need like a doorway to get through to somewhere. So you take a picture and then put the doorway where you need it so you can keep going. That's so wild. Like it's And then like whatever you take a picture of is like what it is. So if the picture's black and white, the bridge that you put in is black and white, or if it's like a drawing that you take a picture of, it's then like the bridge would be like a drawing. Like it's nuts. Yeah.
This is top.
I don't understand it.
Yeah,
it's so trippy, but it's so cool at the same time. Like,
yeah. Oh, that's so. The top review, the end of it, it says, "The game itself is great. It makes you feel like an idiot and a genius at the same time." That's kind of what I'm getting from the like gifts. Yeah.
Yeah.
I might have to download that because now I
honestly
have
do it.
Computer like set up with the TV, so yeah, maybe yep. I need to download it.
And you can pet the cat.
Yeah.
Petting the cat is always important. Like if I can't pet the cat, what the hell are we doing?
So the whole point of each level is to like get to the end portal part to like finish that part of the map. So there are some where you need to find batteries, right? To turn on the portal. But there's not enough batteries. So what do? You take a picture of the battery to then make a duplicate of the battery. Like it's insane that's the things awesome. They have thought of. Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. Well, cool. I'm going to recommend everyone go check out Tennille Rosum from Rosum Design. She does leather work, a lot of book strap leather work, but she's in Winnipeg, and I'm going to be going to Winnipeg for work, and I'm going to be hanging out with Tennille if all things go well, and we're going to go to the art museum to see an Inuit art exhibit and maybe have some drinks afterwards. It's going to be fun, but... yeah, so everyone should go check her out and also buy some of her stuff.
Yeah, those are really beautiful journals.
Yeah, that's really cool stuff. But now on to the Jesse section. Take it away.
Okay, so this week's Ask Us Anything question is from DW Woodbuilds. And the question is, what's your favorite cephalopod and why? Would you guys like me to go first, or do you want to go first?
Yep, go first.
Okay, so I got very excited when I saw this question on the sheet because I do absolutely have one. It is called the Dumbo Octopus. They are tiny little orange, adorable guys with Dumbo ears, pretty much. They have giant like flaps on their head. And I only knew about that one. And when I Googled this today to make sure I had the name right, I found out that there is like a whole family of these little guys. So the genus name is Grimpotuthis. Grimpotuthis? Yeah, Grimpotuthis. Oh. And oh my God, they're all so cute. So like, you know, if you're feeling bummed out or sad, look at Dumbo octopuses because they are the cutest fucking thing. I love them so much. I've been obsessed with them since like I was a child. I saw one in Ranger Rick magazine and that was it for me. I've just been obsessed ever since.
Wow. I would have to say that my favorite cephalopod is a dead cephalopod. No, I don't know. I have never once, unlike dinosaurs and... other things like that. I've never once thought that there was a particular cephalopod that stuck out. But maybe it's like the guys from Star Wars that said, it's a trap. That's those guys. those were my favorites.
What about you, Adam?
I honestly don't know. I didn't even know what they were until you asked this question.
I had a feeling because I asked it to Tyler and he gave me a blank look. So I was like, okay, it's these like families of animals. And then he was like, oh, okay. Because then, you know, like he was like, oh yeah, cuttlefish, they change color. They're crazy. Yeah. This is kind of my like corner of nerdery because when I was little, I really wanted to be a marine biologist. And so I have spent way too much time looking at strange underwater animals.
I love fish.
I don't think I could be a marine biologist. The ocean is terrifying.
No, it's not.
It totally is. It's
so ask me my favorite fish, I could tell you, but yeah, I don't know about this cephalopod thing.
Just say octopus, squid, or cuttlefish. There's three of them. Just say one of those.
Nautilus is another one.
Or a
Nautilus
kraken.
Was the one that I was looking at thinking it was cool, but I like Kraken.
Yeah,
actually,
they look really cool.
There you go. Kraken. Well, I want to thank TF Turning for the theme song. I want to thank everyone for tuning in and listening this week. I hope that you enjoyed the episode. You can find us and discuss things with us on the Discord server or on Instagram. We're also on Facebook and I think that's about it. That's the main places we're at. And of course, YouTube and your favorite podcast player, but you're already listening to us, so don't kind of mention that. We would really appreciate if you could write a review if you've enjoyed the show. We haven't had a review in a year. So someone could go on Apple, download the iTunes app, or however. I don't even know how to make the reviews happen anymore. Someone could figure that out. That'd be great. We'd really appreciate it. Yeah. I don't know how it works, but you can do it. I believe in you. And if you're too burnt out to do it, just remember that this is part of your hobby. So it's helping your burnout. And until next time, cheers and have a great day.
Bye. Bye.